The Belmont Stakes, of course, is this weekend, and joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline is Donna Brothers from NBC Sports, a reporter, of course, and a former jockey. The race is this Saturday at 5 p.m., of course, on NBC. There will be no Triple Crown winner this year, Donna, and Medina Spirit and his trainer in hot water after the second test also turns positive. I mean, what a this is just lousy. It kind of, it's so weird that this has happened. What a hit to his reputation. No.
Oh gosh, yeah, it's a horrible hit to his reputation. Absolutely. I mean, it's really a debacle. And one that was probably avoidable, which is what makes it sad, really. But it's definitely a hit to his reputation.
Donna, when you Belmont, I grew up in New York City, and I used to go to, I've never actually been to the Belmont Stakes, even though I've gone to Belmont, you know, for just regular racing when I was like a teenager and in my early 20s a number of times. You know, to me, it's one of the most beautiful tracks in America, although you've been to a lot more tracks than I have. So how does Belmont as a track stack up for you compared to other tracks in the U.S.?
Well, I can tell you this. There's no place better suited to host a Triple Crown when there's a Triple Crown on the line. So when we were there for American Pharoah and Justify, when they won the Triple Crown, that crowd was massive. But it's such a massive space that you don't feel like you're jammed in there. And it's got just such a festive atmosphere because there's so much sort of like picnic area seating and, you know, just sort of hanging out where most of the crowd is just like out and amongst each other rather than being sequestered into separate dining rooms all over the place. So it's a really great place for the crowd. On a normal Wednesday, it can feel pretty cavernous. It is a beautiful track, though. And as you mentioned, I mean, it's just a beautiful place. It's a massive track. The Mile and Eighth Oval is the only one like it in America. And so that infield is just a beautiful, spacious field with a nice lake in it.
Yeah.
Hey, Donna, let me ask you, go back to Medina Spirit for just a minute here. What is the drug testing process like for these horses before races and after races?
Well, all the horses were out of competition tested before the Derby. And so, you know, our natural question following the Derby and the post-race positive to the regulatory bodies was, if they were all out of competition tested, why wasn't this drug picked up in advance of the Kentucky Derby? Because Bob Baffert said we started using the ointment on him for this dermatitis condition that he had after the Santa Anita Derby. And their answer was that we only test for banned substances. So at the end of the day, betamethasone is a therapeutic medication that's allowed to be used. It's a lot like a topical Benadryl. It just alleviates the discomfort from the dermatitis that he had. But it can't be in their system during competition. So it was not tested for in the out-of-competition testing, and it was there. And it did. It is a therapeutic medication that he could legally have used if his vet had bothered to tell him that it's in that medication, that the Otomax had betamethasone in it, and there's a withdrawal period. And so that's why I said, you know, it was really avoidable, which is what's going to make it really sad that he's, you know, it's going to be a stain on his career. That record 7th Kentucky Derby isn't going to happen. And now Churchill Downs is elected to rule him off for the next 2 years, so he's not going to win another one in the next 2 years. We know that. And it's for a substance that really is a therapeutic medication. It would be like an Olympic athlete getting caught because they had used Advil the day before the race and they forgot not to use it.
Wow, really putting it in perspective. That's interesting. We're talking with Donna Brothers, former jockey, NBC Sports. You see her at the end of races interviewing the winners on, you know, via the horse. Donna, this is interesting for the Belmont because you have six horses with 6-1 odds or better. Or is that five? Five horses, sorry, that is 6-1. So it seems like it's kind of wide open. Rombauer ran a great race at the Preakness and made that, you know, just came streaking down the finish. It was pretty impressive. First of all, I know we had you on before the Preakness. What did you think about Rombauer's performance in the Preakness and his chances against the good field here in the Belmont?
Well, it's going to be a great race. You know, you mentioned some of the horses that are back from either the Derby or the Preakness. Actually, the top four betting choices out of the Kentucky Derby are back in the Belmont Stakes, and those horses skipped the Preakness. So Essential Quality, who was the favorite, Rock Your World, who was 9-2 in the Kentucky Derby, Hot Rod Charlie, he was 5-1, known agenda. Brombar didn't run in the Kentucky Derby. He runs in the Preakness, and wow, he just kind of blew their socks off as he made that run through the stretch. I will say he got a perfect ride under Flavien Prat. And a lot of times a really good ride can make for a perfect trip. So he had a really good trip, had a really good ride. I'm not sure that the Belmont stretch sets up as well for a closer as the Preakness stretch does, though. It's actually the shortest, believe it or not, the mile-and-a-half oval of the Belmont Park racetrack of the three Triple Crown venues has the shortest stretch. So it's 1,097 feet from where the turn ends to where it straightens out, which is 55 feet shorter than Churchill Downs and 137 feet shorter than Pimlico. And so for that reason alone, it doesn't seem to be as conducive for the closers. And historically, you've got to be within three lengths of the lead by the time you turn for home. Now, Brombar could possibly do that again. He's got a new jockey. I think, you know, Flavien Prat has elected to ride Rock Your World, Hot Rod Charlie, the horse he rode in the Derby. And so his new jockey is Hall of Fame jockey John Velasquez, so he doesn't take a back seat anyway.
Yeah. When you, Donna, do you ever, I know you've been retired from racing for a while now, but do you ever see like a horse that just looks really awesome and you're like, I'd like to ride that horse. I'd like to, you know, give it one last go. Do you ever have that thought anymore or no?
No, but I see those horses and go like, I want to bet on that horse.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, I haven't forgotten what all of it is, right? It's not just like you go get on the horse and you go around there and you go fast and you win. There's a lot that goes into those really spectacular moments, and I'm not willing to do that anymore. So I don't try to just go like, okay, just give me one more shot out there.
Donald, what's the hardest part about being a jockey?
I would say the hardest part about being a jockey is just the day in and the day out, because it's 7 days a week going out to the racetrack, hustling. You're really only as good as your last few mounts. And, you know, if you don't have the good horses, you're not going to win races. If you don't win races, people don't want to ride you. So it's that part where you just have to day after day after day prove yourself. And it's year-round. You know, you race in Florida in the winter, and some of these jockeys stay here in New York year-round. And so I'd say the hardest part is the day in and the day out. And the jockeys that we see running the Triple Crown are just the very top 2% of the jockeys. A lot of these jockeys are plying their trade for very little money to try to make it to that level.
What's the relationship? You know, often we think of, you know, athletes, and sometimes the superstar athletes in their sports can be, you know, maybe a little standoffish at times and stuff. Like, is John Velasquez, when he's running, when he runs into some new jockey maybe I shouldn't point out him specifically, but he runs into some new jockey at some small track, or I don't know. Like, is there good camaraderie amongst the veteran, excellent jockeys and the newbies who have proven nothing, or no?
Well, I would say, yeah. I mean, John Velasquez isn't going to end up at a podunk racetrack riding with unknown jockeys at any given time. But I will say this, when those riders come into a racetrack, I was riding at Remington Park in Oklahoma when I went to Arlington Park for the first time. And I remember the first race that I rode with Pat Day. And after the race, he just started talking to me. And I was thinking, wow, Pat Day is talking to me. And he asked me, like, how my experience was. And, hey, if you need anything, let me know.
That's
and
cool.
So, yes, I mean, those guys who are at the top of the level, you know, they want to see people succeed. And they realize that it is in their best interest to have good jockeys out there with them, because bad jockeys make mistakes that make other people get hurt. And so, yeah, they really do help their brethren along. But I will say this, when the gate opens, there are no friends out there. So all that friendship stuff is over when the gate opens.
Is there last time you were on, I asked you about the movie Seabiscuit, and you said you liked it, and there was some trash talking between jockeys. Does that actually go on?
Before the race, maybe. I remember going to ride a race at this track in Kentucky Downs now, and one of the other jockeys and I were sharing a ride, and he was telling me how much he liked this horse in the fifth race. And I said, well, I hate to tell you, but my shipper from Chicago is going to blow your doors off. And so when I blew by him, I said, see ya! And he had to ride back with me. And so, yeah, I mean, there's some of that where, you know, we'll banter back and forth. But we're not out there, like, it like it's depicted in movies where we're like elbow to elbow trying to push each other out of the way and trash talking to each other. There's just not that much time.
I'm curious, you know, when I used to gamble a lot on the horses, and we used to, you know, we would go to OTB in New York and we'd bet, but we'd also sometimes, you know, we'd also go to the Meadowlands and see the trotters. And what's your thoughts on that kind of racing?
Well, I covered the Hamiltonian for about 5 years in a row. It was on NBC Sports for a while, and it gave me a whole new respect for it. I've also covered a lot of other equestrian disciplines for NBC Sports, including show jumping and three-day eventing and dressage. And anytime that you are working as a partner with an animal and you're trying to get them to perform at their highest level, there's a great deal of difficulty and expertise and finesse involved with that. And so I respect every level of athletes, but also athletes whose outcome and success depends on being essentially an animal trainer and a coach to your partner. Yeah, I like all of that.
All right, Donna, last one for me here. Who's going to win the race?
Dustin, the horse gets in front. The one who goes across the finish line. I'm going to go with that. No, it's a wide open race. I picked Essential Quality in the Derby because I felt like he had the talent. At that point in his career, he had faced 45 other horses, and none of them had figured out a way to beat him. And I think he comes into this race in really good form. He's had the 5 weeks in between since he didn't run in the Preakness Stakes. And I still think he's a good horse. So right now he's my top pick unless somebody touts me otherwise in the post-parade.
Coverage this Saturday at 5 p.m. NBC. Everybody check it out, the Belmont Stakes. We appreciate the time, Donna. Thank you for joining us.
Anytime. Good to talk to you all.
You too. Donna Brothers from NBC Sports.